I'm Jack Williams, the general manager of EWTN Radio. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe with a different host and a different focus. This week we're talking about women in Catholic radio. To help us along this journey, we're pleased to be joined by Teresa Holman, co-founder and assistant general manager, Covenant Network Catholic Radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Donetta Robin, the executive director of Divine Mercy Radio in Hayes, Kansas. And Bernadette Boguski, executive director of The Rock, WCCR Radio in Cleveland, Ohio. So, ladies, I want to talk with our listeners and give them a little insight, because I know that one common theme amongst radio operators, Catholic radio operators in particular, is often that had I known ahead of time what I was going to be in for when I got into this, I never would have agreed to be part of the effort. And talk a little bit about, if you would, each of you, I'll start with you, Teresa, about everything that goes into getting a radio station off the ground and keeping it on the air.
Well, it's a new day every day, I think, but it takes maybe a doctorate in momming or something. I don't know. You've got to be a jack of all trades. You've got to be able to handle the financial side of things. Someone's got to be in charge of the books, and you've got to take care of all that. Besides having an accountant and an attorney or whatever to take care of all the financial parts, you've got the legal parts with FCC and dealing with all of that. If you don't know anything about radio, there's a lot there, and it's really important. You've got to have a spiritual aspect. You've got to be able to keep your prayer life focused, because that's going to come under attack. And you also are going to be called to help lead other people in that respect. You've got to be able to work with employees, work with other people, and help them learn what they need to know. You're going to be learning probably in the process, and you've got to help other people. There's just a plethora of things you have to know how to do. And maybe you don't have to be a mom to know how to do all those things, but I think women in particular are good at juggling hats, and those are things that if you're going to have a Catholic radio apostolate, you can expect are going to be required of you.
Donetta, talk about some of the things that maybe you never would have dreamed that you would have to be responsible for when you got involved in Catholic radio.
Well, I think one of the things that surprised me the most was the legal aspect, how many things we have to do to stay legal with the FCC, and then things that I never ever dreamed of, like going out and rebooting a barracks box out at the transmitter site and it's frozen shut and I'm knocking ice off the lock, and I go back to the car, warm up, go out, try to knock some more off. And I remember one time I had called Doug, was the one who told me I needed to go out there, Doug Pearson, and I said, Doug, I never asked for this. And he says, I'm sorry, Catholic radio is such a pain to you. And it just brought everything back into perspective that I am doing, you know, work for God. So I needed to just keep focused. But while we're talking about the transmitter site or out of the tower site, I never dreamed that there would be mice, snakes. And in Kansas, we have Millers, and they would fly in and get into the equipment, and they'd be in your hair as your, oh my gosh. But we've kind of worked on all, I mean, the mice have even gotten in and chewed up our air conditioner cords to where we had to put a new air conditioner in. So my husband is now retired, and he takes care of the tower site. So he sprays the weeds, he takes care of the mice, and makes sure all that kind of thing is done. So I'm very thankful for that now. But
equal but different, right?
That's exactly right. The other thing from a woman's perspective is, you know, it's almost like I always say, like having a baby. You're on call 24/7. So if the radio station goes off the air, you got to get up and get it back on. So it's like having a child.
So Bernadette, when you became the executive director of The Rock in Cleveland, did you sign up for mice and snakes?
I didn't know it, but I did. Yeah, we've dealt with that too. You know, it's the phone call at 9:30 in the morning from a board member, or 9:30 at night on a Saturday, that says, why are we off the air? Or why are we playing two things at once? It's been so much more now too with the internet, and now we just added a podcast. So it's not just radio. There's all kinds of different layers of communication with our donors and our listeners, and making sure our live stream is good on our website, and also making sure the podcast is good, and you know, online giving. And so there's a lot of different pieces there, but I want to go back to what Teresa said earlier about that prayer piece, because you do get attacked. We always have something go wrong before a pledge drive, and we always know that, you know, somebody doesn't like what we're doing. And so the devil does try and get in our way a little bit, but that prayer life is so, so important to everything we do. But I'm just blessed, you know, and I think that Teresa and Donetta would speak to this, that we are just blessed with very committed team members around us who we all work together, from the tech side to the accounting side to the community relations side, to make all of this work.
You know, Donetta, one thing that has been an earmark and a trademark of Catholic Radio since its inception has been the collegiality between groups, one group helping another group, all trying to help the promulgation of the gospel of our Lord. Talk a little bit about, as you were getting off the ground as a newbie in Catholic Radio, maybe some of the Catholic Radio veterans that came alongside and helped you get things going.
Yeah. Doug Pearson was very instrumental. As a matter of fact, he came up here twice, built our original studio, and just kind of laughed at me because he goes, where's your rack? A rack? We need a rack. So then he came back later and installed better equipment. And he told me, you know, you need to stay on the air and do all these things. And then as he was dying of cancer, he started to put us in touch with other people who were starting in Catholic radio and have us mentor them. Like I mentored John Paul II Radio in California. And another thing is, when we would go to Catholic radio conference, some of the veterans like Teresa would give workshops, and I took a lot from her workshops. Like the appreciation banquet I've taken from her, I think I did. Pretty much copied your bylaws for the board and different things that you passed out. I just, you know, maybe tweaked a thing or two, but you helped us a lot in getting some of those things established from behind the scenes that we needed to have in place to function as a station. So thank you.
And I know as you got off the ground there in Cleveland, there was a well-established affiliate in nearby Columbus that was very valuable to you, Bernadette.
Oh my gosh, we wouldn't be here without the help of AMA 20 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. They were basically our big brother and just showed us what it took and helped us put the pieces in place, everything from our donor software to our accounting practices to our pledge drives to our studio. I mean, we owe them just such a debt of gratitude, and we'll be forever grateful to them for all the help and support. And it's nice that I can still call there and ask a question or bounce an idea off, and I feel that way with all the other affiliates. I mean, I think everybody just wants everybody else to succeed, which is a really
That's
good
exactly
feeling.
Right.
You know, Teresa, you have a unique perspective because you were in a position once where you barely could turn the lights on, knew nothing about radio whatsoever, and needed help right from outside sources. Talk about some of the people that came to your aid in that situation and how it's different now as you have transitioned over the years into the person that people look to for help.
Well, in the beginning, we relied on two groups of people in particular. First, we kept on the people that were running the radio station when we purchased it, and we paid their salaries for as long as they wanted to stay with us. And so they, in a sense, helped us. The previous general manager that we bought the radio station from, he helped us. There was an engineer in St. Mary's, Kansas, that taught us all about radio. And so we learned lots of that stuff in the beginning. We also had a few group calls with people The other two people that started with us were Immaculate Heart of Mary Radio and Queen of Peace Radio. And so we used to do phone calls with each other just to share ideas and questions and thoughts and what we were doing. So even from the very beginning, we kind of had that camaraderie. But more than anything, Mother made everything so available to us at EWTN, and she gave us the people to contact, to talk to and ask. And EWTN has been exceptional at helping us answer questions when we needed them. And then there were people like, so, you know, in the beginning we were doing live radio in between all of the shows. And so we were recording things reel to reel and then editing them and putting them on carts. And then Paul Denise was helping at Queen of Peace Radio in Florida. And he found the Simeon software. And so he came up one weekend and helped us set up the computers. It gave me like a little 5-minute lesson on how to set up a log. And then I set up 7 days worth of logs, and just, it's amazing all of the people that we've met. But I think greater than anything is the trust in the Lord and Mother Angelica, and everybody at EWTN has just been a lifeline for us.
Now, one thing we know is that we are about a good work here, and we are about a good work that is inspired by our Lord. And we have an enemy, and that enemy is real, and that enemy is formidable. And whenever we are about a good work on behalf of our Lord, you know, if we're laying in the shadows and we're not doing anything, he's going to leave us alone. But when we step out in faith and we start to do something like this, there are going to be attacks. And Bernadette, you talked a little bit about that, but you got some advice early on in your tenure about how to deal with these things.
I did. One of our founding board members, Tom Wenzel, who was also a marketing director for EWTN, took me to lunch shortly after I got the job. And he said, make sure you have a good prayer life, because you're going to be attacked for the work that you do. And he was right. I mean, we feel it. I will remember one pledge drive where 2 days before the drive was starting, everybody here was in a bad mood for some reason. We've had pledge drives where the water tank broke the week before the drive. One time we had one of our guest hosts was here and they couldn't get on the internet. Everybody else could get on, but they couldn't get on. So there's just odd things that happen that try and thwart the work that we do, but we just persevere and we pray. And God always delivers on his promises. So it goes back to that trust and divine providence that Mother was just exemplified for all of us. But that prayer life is so critical to everything that we do.
You know, Teresa, I've never met anyone inside of Catholic Radio or outside of Catholic Radio that is more reliant on the providence of God from moment to moment than your husband, Tony. And talk a little bit about how that leadership, as well as your own spirituality, helps you deal with the hurdles that are thrown in your path by the evil one.
You know, Tony has taught me so very much. And as you know, he would prefer I did never say that or ever say his name on anything. But he really takes everything to prayer. Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, but then I think, oh, I can't believe I just said that. But he, everything, every big decision, every tiny little decision goes to prayer. And so when you talk about unceasing prayer, that's what I have learned more than anything from my husband, is prayer in every single aspect of my day. And so for me, I use all of the little reminders that I keep all around me, the rosary in my hand almost all the time, the holy water font, the pictures, all of those things, the reminders on my phone to stop and pray. Because if he's not right there, I don't think I'd think to do them all the time like I do. But it's something I think that it's critical that we all do. And it doesn't have to be long prayers. It can be just a quick, short prayer. But the spiritual attacks come, but then you know where it's coming from. And so we just you sometimes you just have to laugh and think, okay. So, and you deal with it, you move on, you fix it and go on. Just this morning we were trying to get ready for the show and I tested things out early in the morning. Everything was fine. And then I can connect when it's time for us to get ready to go on the air. So, you know, prayer all the time, all the time.
You know, I remember being in a meeting with Tony in your offices, you know, a somewhat important meeting once, and the 3 o'clock hour struck and someone else was speaking and we were at a key moment in the meeting and Tony stood up and just started walking for the corner of the office and looked back as though he was just completely astonished that everyone wouldn't immediately get up and head to the prayer corner to pray the chaplet at 3 o'clock.
That's every day here, 10 o'clock is the rosary and 3 o'clock is the chaplet. Yes. It's part of our lives. And we use that. We pray for all of our listeners. We pray for all of our sponsors, everyone, and all of the employees, the friends, staff, and EWTN, and all of our prayers throughout the network every day.
Well, thankfully, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Donetta, yes, talk a little bit about some of the struggles that you have had from a spiritual standpoint and how they have actually yielded some incredible miracles.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes the evil one likes to work through people. So we've had several incidences where, you know, we've had issues with the board working against each other instead of together. And I remember one time I just was like, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I didn't even want this. And then I went to confession and I had a lady who is very spiritual and I asked her if she would just guide me through this. And so we would meet once a week and we'd pray the rosary and we'd talk and she said, you know what you need? You need a patroness. We had a patron, the Divine Mercy, but we needed a patroness. So she actually told us that Our Lady of Perpetual Help should be our patroness. She designed a chaplet to Our Lady of Perpetual Help and then went to a priest to make sure everything was legit. All the prayers on the chaplet was legit. And she said, what you need to do is the board needs to commit to praying this every Wednesday. And I tell you, since we've done that, we haven't had any issues.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's totally amazing. Our God is a good God. It's not surprising, but it's definitely amazing. You know, there are blessings. We've talked about some of the challenges here today, but there are also incredible blessings that come along with the work that we do and the hard efforts that we put into getting these things accomplished. And I'm guessing that probably some of the most rewarding experiences that you have are dealing with your donors and with the people that you work with, but more importantly, the people that benefit from hearing the message that The Rock in Cleveland is putting out every day.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Jack, because one of the things that is so gratifying and is just a gift from God, especially when we get really discouraged, is those phone calls and those letters from people who say, I saw your bumper magnet on a car and turned on the radio station and now I can't turn it off, or I've come back to the church, or I've become Catholic because I started listening. And so those stories are so edifying and are what keep us going and know that we're doing the Lord's work, or that we're allowing him to work through us, is what I should say. So we are instruments in his hands because this apostolate belongs to him. But we had a St. Monica novena last year, and the day after the novena finished, and the novena was all about praying for family members who had left the church or not practicing their faith. The day after the novena, we received a letter from a listener who told us that their adult son had come back to the church. So we just know that God is working through this apostolate, and we are so grateful for that. And we just continue to seek his guidance and the promptings of the Holy Spirit to know what he wants us to do next.
You know, one of the beauties, I think, of Catholic radio is that it speaks to anybody. It speaks to the unchurched. It speaks to people of other faith traditions. It speaks to our separated brothers and sisters within the Christian faith. It speaks to fallen away Catholics, and it speaks to strong Catholics. It can strengthen the strongest Catholic just by listening to Catholic radio, and I'm sure that some of your interactions over the year have been very edifying, huh, Donata?
Absolutely. Well, I have a board member who just said, since he's been listening to Catholic radio, his faith has just grown so much. And then, you know, I've had priests tell me that people have come back to confession that said that haven't been there for a long time, and they are there, they say, because of something they heard on Catholic radio. And I think that's pretty neat. And we've had people who have come to the faith and come on during our carathons and shared their story because they went through RCIA because of what they heard on Catholic radio. So, you know, and none of this could be done. I want to echo what Teresa said. None of this could be done without EWTN, because we could never, ever do our own programming and run this apostolate. So EWTN is just amazing for us.
And Teresa, with 43, soon to be 44 stations, you guys have plenty of opportunity for listener engagement. Share some of the stories that have really touched your heart over the years.
Oh, Jack, I think we've had everything like you talked about. You know, we've had the bumper sticker conversions. We've had the people who are incarcerated who are just relying on listening every hour they can throughout the day because they're just trying to stay strong and you know, get their life back on track. The people who are homebound that really, really rely on listening to the program. But, you know, truly the ones that really affect me the most are the people who, the day-to-day conversions of the people. I think the hardest ones are those who are the people that are lukewarm. They've really just been living their life kind of maybe even going to mass, but, you know, maybe not regularly, but welcoming them and getting them to take that huge step to commit to following the Lord, to going to confession and using Catholic radio to really watch them see the scales fall from their eyes and to be able to go to confession and feel that joy and coming home, and then using the radio to listen throughout the day and really, really commit each day to come to know and to love the Lord and to live each day for Him. Those are the ones that kind of affect me the most, because you have these big dramatic conversions, but reaching out to the people who maybe really were just kind of maybe there, but really not really, those are the ones that really always really touch me.
You know, I have a great opportunity to go around and interact with you all and your various apostolates, and sometimes I get the great privilege of speaking at some of your events, and some of them are fundraising events, and I always tell people that if you can make that small contribution to help support this Catholic radio apostolate, you know, if they hear Mother Angelica, a listener, say something that inspires them and changes their life, Mother Angelica is no more responsible for what has touched that person's heart than the person who supports the radio station. I know sometimes fundraising is a dirty word, and it's something that a lot of people are uncomfortable doing, but it's essential, and it's what keeps our apostolates going. And talk a little bit about your donors and the attitude that you have towards fundraising there in Hayes, Kansas, Donetta.
Well, that definitely was out of my comfort zone, fundraising, but I knew I had to in order for this to work. So, and it's become easier over the years to ask people for money and or prizes for our carathon or different things like that. It's become easier for me. But if it wasn't for them, and very few people say no, very few people say no. So I'm just amazed at the support that our community receives from, you know, to help us stay afloat.
And Bernadette, everybody in the organization is a fundraiser, aren't they?
Absolutely, because you only have one chance to make a first impression. So everybody from the person who answers the phone and every staff member and every time we're at an event with an exhibit booth, is an opportunity to invite someone to participate. I don't like to talk about fundraising so much as inviting people to participate in this work, which is really bigger than any of us. And every time we get at that conversion story, we know that every donor who supported this station had a part in that. And so that's kind of the attitude that we take, is that we are in this together, trying to change hearts and bring people closer to the Lord.
In the last minute, yeah, in the last minute or two that we have here, I'd like for each of you to kind of issue a challenge to those that are watching the program, issue a challenge to support Catholic radio in general and their local Catholic radio affiliate. What would you say to them, Teresa?
Well, I think the Catholic radio is kind of the source for everything local. And so, you know, we're there for promoting all the events in all the parishes, and not just being within your parish. We can promote it to the whole community. We do all of the pro-life work, the stuff with Vitae and walks and marathons and things around the area. We promote stuff for Sierra Club, for the Sarah Club, for just all the different organizations throughout our area, and Covenant Network. I think all of Catholic Radio. We can be that source in the community that brings the community together to inspire everyone to work together, because there's great things going on in this country, and Catholic radio brings all of that together. And then us reaching out and them reaching it back to us, I think we really build that family, the Catholic family around the world.
Bernadette, 30-second challenge.
My challenge is, first of all, listen to Catholic radio on your radio station, on your app, on your computer, and also get a bumper magnet or a bumper sticker from your local Catholic radio station and display it on your car. It's the best way to evangelize to others that you can find.
And quickly, you get the final word, Donetta, with your challenge.
I just want to echo what the other two actually said. And if you could just listen to Catholic radio 1 hour during the week, or challenge somebody else to listen to Catholic radio 1 hour during the week, the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today. On behalf of our guests, Bernadette Boguski, Donetta Robin, and Teresa Holman, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks for tuning in and joining us today. And don't forget to tune in next week right here in the Catholic Sphere.